Hello and welcome everybody again to my Tuesday conference call. This is a call that I hold every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific time, 5 p.m. Eastern time. It's a call where I teach you how to move freight, move it more productively, efficiently, effectively, so you make more money financially. As usual, if you're on my email list, go ahead and go to that one of the emails that I sent you today. That will be the basis for today's topic. Today we're going to talk about follow-up. What is the proper way to follow up with a prospect? Now, as I said earlier, go to all those attachments on the bottom of your email that I sent out to you today. We're going to go over these one by one. By the time you're finished, or by the time I'm finished, you will have the correct mindset on how to effectively follow up with your prospects and your customers. Before I do that, though, go to that first attachment, as I usually do, open that up. That is our Green Meadows Productions leaderboard. You'll see that those are our leaders for September. I take it back, unfortunately, on this one. I sent the wrong one. I'm looking at a wrong one. But look at that leaderboard. It'll show you how everybody did last month. Your goal, as I typically say, is to make it a goal to get your name on that leaderboard wherever you start. Doesn't matter to me. Get your name on that leaderboard and climb that leaderboard. If there's one thing that I could suggest you today as far as doing better and better in this profession is get your name on our leaderboard and climb that leaderboard. Okay, let's go ahead and X out of there and open up the second attachment. Second attachment says, don't ever say this phrase. Don't ever say this phrase, and I can account to that. Don't ever say this phrase, I'm just touching base. What that means is don't ever, in your follow-up phase of your relationship building, don't ever call a prospect or a customer and say, I'm just touching base. Now, why is that? Well, let me explain. The success of your follow-up call is in direct relation to the success of your previous call. Now, during that first call, freight sales agents should always make sure to nail down what happens next before hanging up the phone. Make a note of the conversation that you had with your prospect or customer. This involves getting a commitment that both your prospect and your customer will do something, and you'll do something as a result of the last call you had with them. Now, when you've established clear next steps in your first conversation, you can follow up with a line like, I'm calling to continue our conversation from last week where we discussed moving your freight. You're going to review the information I sent you, which you did. You sent them information. Did you have any questions on that information? And based on that, will you put me on your email freight list? Now, there is a great way to follow up after your first conversation. That's just one of many examples. Again, you're not calling to say I'm just touching base. You're calling with actual information to remind them and also to share with them. Now, on your follow-up calls, it's important to remember that your prospects are not likely doing pre-call planning like you are, meaning don't expect them to expect your call that you gave them or that you made to them last week. Therefore, you can't assume that they're in the same frame of mind as you when the time for your call rolls around. So again, don't expect them to remember the first call that you had with them. Just plain and simple, they're not going to remember unless it's somebody you know personally. Actually, you should assume that they won't even remember you. Not only the call, but they won't even remember you. Then make a point to briefly review where you left off on your previous conversation. So here's a couple examples. The last time we spoke, you showed interest in our freight service. Here's another example. I'm calling to continue our conversation from last week where we had discussed moving your freight and you were going to blank. They were going to do something. They were going to receive your information. Again, it depends on where you left off in the last conversation. By following these simple rules, you'll never have to touch base with your prospects. This is just an ongoing process. It's not where you're touching base from time to time. Let's keep touching base on the baseball and softball fields and not on our freight sales follow-up calls. Okay? So remember, I'm just touching base is for baseball and softball. It's not for following up with your freight sales prospects. Let's X out of there, guys. Open up that third email. I did forget to mention the title of my call today, which I just said it earlier. I'm just touching base is not... Boy, I apologize. I'm just touching base is for baseball and softball. My apologies for not announcing the title of my topic earlier. So open up that third attachment. The third attachment reads, 5 reasons to make a follow-up sales call other than just touching base. Let me say that again. 5 reasons to make a follow-up sales call other than just touching base. Remember, we're going to rid those lines out of our vocabulary, especially when it comes to following up with our prospects. Now, there are no shortcuts in freight sales. When I tell you that it's going to take 3 to 6 months before you notice anything productive in your profession, that's what I mean. That's the average it takes. So there are no shortcuts in this profession. Optimizing your sales takes hard work and consistency, and it's usually a couple of months from the start before you see any positive changes, like I said earlier. Now, one of those rare short-term techniques that often goes overlooked is giving your customers and prospects a fresh reason to call, or, in the world of email, reason to contact. I'm just going to lay it flat on the line here. Some of your prospects, it will take a while, it'll take a long time before they give you the opportunity to move their freight. Now, that's not the case with everybody. Some will give you the opportunity right away. They're all different. That's just the way it is. And you're different. You're a newcomer that's attempting to get or fit the vision of you into their time frame. Some will like you, some won't. But that's how it goes. Some will give you the opportunity, some will take a while. So for those that take a while, you've got to come up with reasons to call or reasons to contact. And we're going to talk about that right now. So what is an RTC? Well, you can think of an RTC as a mini campaign, a mini marketing campaign. It's a new reason to call clients or a fresh new angle to use on the phone with your prospects and your customers. Successful freight sales agents love and use RTCs to reinvigorate their approach to outbound calling and their emailing. Now, next question is, why use RTCs? Why use a reason to call or a reason to contact? Well, successful freight sales agents get into a groove. They get their story down, and they iterate on it with every conversation. But after a while, even the best freight sales agent like yourself will fall into a rut, and their story starts to sound stale. Now, once a freight sales agent starts going down this slippery slope, their confidence and conviction often takes a nosedive with it. So this happens most often with our follow-ups and our follow-up campaigns and mini-campaigns where they aren't as persistent as they should be because they don't have a good enough reason to call the prospect again. Moving on, some top freight sales agents will go back to the drawing board and they might rewrite their pitch to sound fresh. Others, they'll get creative with the pitch they have. This is where you'll see outright deception or deceptive sales tactics come into play as metrics get exaggerated and false stories spun. Very quickly, your pitch starts to sound like a tall tale. This is where you feel that your pitch, again, just going over what I just said, where your pitch feels to be invigorated. So what happens? You start making stuff up. You start saying things that aren't true. You start drawing this grand picture that most customers and prospects won't believe. That's what happens when you start going down a slippery slope like this. Now, it's also worth noting that feeling stale is at least 50% mental. I mean, that's something we've allowed to happen. It's 50% mental. If you think you're feeling stale, that's because you've allowed yourself to feel stale. The freight sales agent may not in fact sound stale. It may just be your or my or their perception. So if you feel like you're feeling stale, it's because you've allowed yourself to think that way. Now, here are five fresh RTCs that will give you an actual purpose in reconnecting and following up with your prospects and customers. Now, regardless of whether your pitch has indeed outlived its usefulness or you simply feel it has, you can head negative situations off at the pass with better RTCs. Again, RTCs, reason to call and reason to contact. When you have something fresh to say, your confidence will go way up. So what I'm going to go over here are five examples of a more interesting reason to call or an interesting more reason to contact. Here's the first one. The first one is obtaining some breaking industry news. I mean, there are outlets all there on the time. Boy, if you want to do anything, just Google the company that you're calling. Something is going to come up on the ticker. So you're going to share this breaking industry news with them. Here's an example of what you may say after getting something on them. Hey, I came across this article and I thought you might find it useful. You're just sharing some industry news with them. Here's a second RTC. And that's a new client story, a new client story. Here's an example. We just moved some freight for customer X, and I thought you might find it interesting because they're similar to you in Y and Z ways. Again, you're making them familiar with you because you did something similar to what they do. You move their freight in a similar way to how they move their freight. So a new client story. Tell them the story that you just had with either a new client or a competitor of theirs. Here's a third new RTC, and that's obtaining some new data. New data. Here's an example of what you can say to them after you've got this new data. The first time that we spoke, you mentioned you wanted proof that our freight service is exceptional. Here are some more recent stats. So basically, something may have came out in the news on your on LDI. Share it with them. Here are some more stats for you to consider on our freight service. So you're sharing some new industry data with them. Number four, the fourth new RTC is share an upcoming nearby event that you may be attending. Example, I'm heading to X location for Y conference, and I thought it would be a good opportunity to grab a cup of coffee with you. Again, you're just letting them know for some reason you're in the area. Hey, I thought I'd give you a call. Let's go get a cup of coffee. I mean, then they can actually see who you are. They see that you're putting forth the effort to build a stronger relationship with them. So share an upcoming nearby event that you're having with them. The fifth new RTC is this, and it's called inbound marketing. Here's an example of inbound marketing. I noticed you opened our white paper on X, and I thought I could assist you to better understand how our freight service will benefit you. You notice that they opened some white paper that you sent them. Hey, if they opened some white paper, that means that they have an interest in what you're doing. You took an interest. So basically, hey, I noticed that you opened this white paper on us. I thought I could assist you to better understand how our freight service will benefit you. If they opened your white paper, that means they took an interest in what you had to say. Here's a bonus tip. Call it number 6. Call it what you want. But here's the last thing you can do. Combine a new reason to call with a caller email blitz where you sit down and reach out to 15 to 20 new prospects or old opportunities. Just come up with a reason, sit down, either call, email, then 15 to 20 new prospects. Do it daily, do it weekly. I'll leave it up to you. But those are five main RTCs, reason to call or reason to contact a prospect in a new and invigorating way. You're not just calling to say, hey, I'm calling to touch base. Shun that from your vocabulary. You're actually calling with valid information to share with them. And let's face it, boy, when somebody calls us and they give us information on ourselves, that tells you that they're taking an interest. They're actually going through the process of expending energy to get information on us. Of course, you want that information to be positive information. So there are five reasons to make a follow-up sales call other than just touching base. Now, let's go ahead next out of there and get into our little more detailed tidbits here. Go ahead and open up that fourth email. Now, basically, what I've shared with you, that fourth email, is the weekly follow-up email template. Now, for those of you that have been a while, you'll see that I send this out to you weekly. I change some words here and there, but I will say this again. This is the lowest form of marketing that you can do. It's the lowest form. And it's so simple to do. Here's the thing. It's so simple to do that our prospects are going to pay attention to it the least. I will say this again. A call beats or trumps an email every time. But one thing I do on this email here is one thing that I'm going to suggest you doing is when you send this out. Now, I take this and I individually send this to every one of my 100 customers. I send out upwards of 100 emails every week to my customer list. But here's what I do on the subject heading. It says what early January freight is moving this week. Here's what I do. What early January blank. What do they ship? Do they ship lumber? Do they ship clothes? Do they ship seeds? Do they ship whatever it is they ship? Take out freight and put in what they actually ship. I mean, again, the goal is to put in something that they can relate to. And if you use that heading, okay, it's going to sound like everybody else. So at least just change that up. Say something that they can relate to, that where they can actually see that you spend some time and energy sending this email out. I will repeat this again. This is like the lowest form of marketing that you can do. It's a standard email. But just schnazz it up where it gives them a reason to open it. Okay, hold on, folks. Let's go ahead and X out of there. And let's go ahead and open up that fifth email. Fifth email states, again, we're getting into more intricate tactics here. Remember when you're calling your prospects and customers that preparation and practice. Keyword there, preparation. Second keyword there, is practice equals professionalism. I put this in there today to, again, stress preparation. Don't just call somebody out of the blue, as I spoke again early, and say, hey, just following up, just touching base. That is not preparing. You've got to give them a reason why you called, and that comes down to your preparation. And the more you do that, that will increase your practice ability. When you keep doing that, you will sound professional. Not only that, you will be professional. So preparation, 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 plus practice, practice, practice equals professionalism. There's one thing you want to sound like when you call somebody is you want, or your desire, your main goal is to sound professional. Okay, let's X out of there. Go to that second line of attachments. Open up that first one on the second row, the sixth one. Remember, when you're calling your prospects and customers, this goes hand in hand with what I'm talking about today. People converse best with those they relate to. Remember when calling your customers and prospects that prospects, customers converse best with those they relate to. So if you're, when you're calling your prospects and customers and you're actually sharing some valid information with them, regardless of what it is, and you're telling them something that they already know, that's who they're going to converse best with. If there's one thing we know, if there's one person that we know the best about in the world, it's ourself. And when somebody shares something with us that we can relate to, boy, they have our attention. So when you converse and you relate to your prospect with something they already know or may not know, but it's certainly about their company, they're going to be open to listen to you. So people converse best with those they relate to. Let's go ahead and X out of there and open up that seventh attachment, second one on the second row. Remember, when you're calling your prospects and customers, don't sell. Remember, you're calling them, you're sharing information with them. Don't sell. Don't tell them how great you are, how great your company is. Nobody knows, nobody wants to know, and nobody cares. They pay attention when you solve their issues. Let me give you an example. I am in the process of reviving a customer whom a past agent left and went away to another brokerage. I'm in the process of reviving this customer. This past agent left a mess. He left just a messy trail with some of the customers, and some of you that are listening receive some of his old customers as well. But I'm in the process. Now, the first time this prospect of mine, when I spoke to her, she said, "Oh boy, I am still waiting for this situation to be resolved." Well, that was my immediate notice that, hey, here I am to solve your challenge. So what do? You solve the challenge. You let them know that you are a problem solver. I didn't tell her how great I was. I didn't tell her how great our company is. I'm showing her that I am a problem solver. So when you call, whether they're old, new, don't sell yourself, just solve their issues. One second, folks. All right, moving on. Let's X out of there, open up that eighth attachment, which states, remember when calling your prospects and customers, again, I've said this before on this call, do your research. Whatever it is you want to share with them about their company, about the industry, do your research. Calling a shipping decision maker before you gather any information on them says this. It says, I didn't feel that this call was important enough for me to take an interest and do any research on you. And they will know. If you want to get somebody's attention, share information with them that they can relate to. So do your research. I'll say it again. Calling a shipping decision maker before you gather any information on them says, I didn't feel that this call was important enough for me to take an interest and do any research on you. If you want somebody to notice, then share something with them. Whatever it is, I went over 5 reason to calls earlier in the call. Do your research. Let's X out of there. Open up that ninth attachment. The ninth attachment reads, Again, remember when you're calling your prospects and customers to prepare for each call by asking, in addition to doing your research, how can I assist this person today? As I said earlier, people will not give us their business because we tell them how great we are. People will give us their business because they see us as problem solvers. They see us as somebody that will assist them in overcoming their challenges, and they have challenges every day. If you're not getting through, just think of it this way. If you're not getting through to the prospect, here's the reason why. They're dealing with a great problem solver already. Just think of that. They're dealing with a great problem solver already, but that problem solver they're dealing with cannot solve all their issues. There are going to be some times where, hey, that guy, that gal is screwing up. They're not following through. That's when they're going to come to you. So prepare for each call by asking, how can I assist this person today? Great topic today, folks, on following up. Let's go ahead and open up that last attachment. My last attachment, I finish up with my Bible insight. The reason why I do this is because, in addition to having years of experience in the industry, I apply what I know, or what my application of what I know comes from the Bible. Here's my topic for today. My topic is this: godly freight agents understand that the world changes, but God does not. That's my Bible insight for today. Godly freight agents understand that the world changes, but God does not. What do I base that on? Well, I base that on Malachi, the book of Malachi. It's in the Old Testament, going toward the latter part of the Old Testament. Malachi states, I, the Lord, do not change. Think about that for a second. Just think about it for a second. Think about how this world we live in is in constant change. It's in constant flux. That's why we have challenges and issues, because our world is always changing. But Malachi here says, quoting the Lord, I, the Lord, do not change. Well, let me explain further. We live in a world that is always changing, but we worship a God who never changes. Think about that. Our world is always changing, but our God does not change. And thank goodness. That means that we can be comforted in the knowledge that our Heavenly Father is the rock that simply cannot be moved. The next time you face a difficult circumstance, a tough time, an unfair treatment, or unwelcome change, remember that some things never change. Things like the love that you feel in your heart for your friends, your family, and the love that God feels for you. So instead of worrying too much about life's inevitable challenges, focus your energies on finding solutions. Because I'll say it again, this world is always changing. That's why we have challenges. Now, it changes for the good part too. All right, this is not all doom and gloom. But have faith in your own abilities. Do your best to solve your challenges and leave the rest up to God. Now, where can we apply this? Well, here's the application. We live in a world, as I said earlier, that is always changing, but we worship a God who never changes. That means we can be comforted in the knowledge that God is our rock that simply can't be moved by this world. Now, if you're going to look to a God that doesn't change, man, that would be the best solution, because I certainly would not want to follow a God who changes with this world. That means that God doesn't know what they're doing. I'm going to follow a God that doesn't change, whose word doesn't change. That's where I'm at. That's what I'm sharing with you today. Just to quote a few people along this line of thinking, John Wooden says, failure is not fatal, but failure to change might be. Sometimes we have to change with the world, but if it's going to change us in a negative way, then that's where you have to stop. Sometimes we do have to change. Next, Charles Swindoll shares, more often than not, when something looks like it's the absolute end, really, it's the beginning. So it's important that we be flexible in what's going on in this world. But if you're going to change to where you're in the world, then you're going in the wrong direction. You don't want to follow this world. You want to follow the God of our Bible. Great topic for today, following up and realizing that this world changes, but our God does not. Okay. As usual, folks, if you have any questions involving my topic for today on following up and realizing that just touching base is only for softball and baseball, call me at 626-309-9141. Any of you folks listening that has a desire to become a top-producing freight agent with our team, call me, Ted Keyes, at the same number, 626-309-9141. For those of you that have moved along in the process of becoming that successful agent and you have access to our freight system, then Maria is the one to call, my wife, at 626-309-9141. Great topic today. Thank you for joining in here. Take care. God bless you all. I'll speak to you soon.